Okay, we're based in western North Carolina, Wilkes County, dealing with the Appalachian issue of the prescription drug misuse, abuse, diversion, and overdoses. Basically started as a community-based organization with the Substance Abuse Task Force, and then over the years connected with the state Medicaid system, working on chronic pain management and educating prescribers and working with them. My disclosures are with Purdue Pharma. They've helped us with a grant, and also I've done some consulting work. There's a multitude of other disclosures here, and the purpose of that is to indicate that we as a community organization, it takes the entire community to get something done and get something accomplished. From little, you know, Walmart to our Kohl's department store to the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians, all have participated financially and otherwise and in kind in order to make a difference with the, unfortunately, the high overdose rates that we have in the Appalachian region. I will be talking about a nasal atomizer that is an aftermarket add-on for the naloxone prefilled syringe in the Narcan naloxone kits that Nick Ruder was just talking about. It is approved by FDA, but not in conjunction with the prefilled syringe. We are a community-based organization to basically attempting to reduce the supply, demand, diversion, and harm from prescription medications without creating an access to care issue. You know, that's a very delicate balance that we work, you know, consistently on to make sure that patients who do require and do need the medication are able to obtain that, but in a safe manner with some education, and those that are seeking to abuse it have less access to the prescriptions. We've done that through community awareness, building knowledge and coalitions within the community so that they can respond with every community sector, from law enforcement to our schools to the medical community, and we essentially used data to drive that. That brings the awareness, that opens the eyes and the ears of a community when they realize, you know, how dire the situation is, because we find in some communities some people know and then others just don't know, yet they need to. And then the other components we'll go through as we go along with the Chronic Pain Initiative and Project Lazarus with the harm reduction and the evaluation. I just want to give you a brief snapshot of who we are before I get into the military component of this. So we basically can now do a community profile of the data that I'll go through in a second to build that community awareness, to establish a coalition so that the each community sector has some sort of a strategy and some sort of an action plan of what they can do and what they can implement with what they do every single day. And we go into a community and work with them with technical assistance, not driving and saying, this is how you have to do it, but just giving them the overall components, what our experiences are, the pros and cons of each different aspect, so that they can define and develop their own implementation according to their culture and society within their community. The community forums that we do, the lunch and learns and so forth. This picture here, we just did one, you know, again in Wilkes County just a few weeks ago. And even coming from my own community, Wilkes County, of about 69,000 people, I was just shocked at this community forum. We just did some radio spots, some flyers. We had 160 people show up in a little tiny community and that I've been very active in over the past 6 years. And I'm looking at the crowd of people that are out there, and most of you, I don't know. You know, I didn't recognize their faces. I didn't know who they were. And it just shows when we permeate a community with an issue, more and more people become attracted to that, and more people want to be part of the response and take ownership of that. We realized early on that community organizers must know their community. Communities must be made aware of that problem. But again, each and every community is different. We have 100 counties in North Carolina, and I can go to Cherokee County on the far west, and I can go to Dare County in the Outer Banks, and it's like two different countries. You know, they are not the same people, they're not the same societies, they're not the same cultures, so each one has to independently design their own response to the issue and the problem. And again, using data to drive that, we look at the fatal events, accidental poisonings, as they are, you know, determined and diagnosed. And then we look at the non-fatal events, how many people are showing up in the emergency rooms and the hospitalizations that we just heard about. And then the availability of the prescription opioids, how many are out there? And through our PMP, our Controlled Substance Reporting System, we know by county how many schedules 2, 3, 4, and 5 have been prescribed. And we're not saying that they shouldn't be prescribed. We're just saying something occurs with those prescriptions once that person picks it up at the pharmacy and takes it home. That's where the community has to be involved and engaged and educated to ensure it doesn't fall into the hands that it was not intended. This is North Carolina. The darker counties you can see are the higher overdose rates, again, higher in the Appalachian region. And as we move forward into 2002, 2005, we begin to see it permeating more and more of the counties. And again, these are accidental poisonings, unintentional overdoses that we believe can be prevented. And then we up this to 2009, and you can see our state situation. And we're not alone in this. There's many other states in the same situation, but it's reached epidemic status. We are in a crisis mode as far as overdoses from prescription drugs and need to respond accordingly. You can see here, again, by just by a graph of what I just showed you in those maps, going to 11.5 out of 100,000. Not the highest in the country, but certainly one of the highest. And I can say preliminary data for 2010 actually has us dropping to 10.4. which we're very encouraged about, and hoping that, you know, through 2011 we will see some of that same data trending downward. This is why we had to do something in Wilkes County. If the state's at 11.5, Wilkes County was at 46. Horrendously, horribly different than the rest of the state, but that is true pretty much for all of Western North Carolina and the counties of Appalachia and the surrounding states. One of the things I did put in here just briefly was because of the newborn data and issue that was just coming out of Florida this week. Personally, I do not like them being called oxytots or addicted babies. They are born chemically dependent with a withdrawal issue, neonatal abstinence syndrome. And as we looked at this, and I put this in here because we now need to look at population-specific responses. And with the newborns from 2004 to 2008, you can see the higher counties there. That was 113% increase from 2004 to 2008 in North Carolina. 104 babies per 100,000 to 221, huge increase, and that was $35 million just in hospital charges for those infants, and 74% of that was Medicaid. If we have more prevention, we have more intervention and more treatment, this can obviously go down and go down rapidly, but it takes a community response to that, not a an individual whole state response. So the Chronic Pain Initiative was to address the prescribing of narcotics to the Medicaid patients because they had high incidences of overdose, high incidence rates for emergency room visits, and multiple prescribers and multiple pharmacies. Medicaid came in. We did a pilot in Wilkes County to essentially look at initiating the Chronic Pain Initiative, look at our emergency department opioid prescribing policies and changing those so that what we term as the frequent flyers are not able to have easy access. And with proper case management, they are referred to where they need to be referred to, primary care or specialist. And with the emergency department being proactive in that, it's turned the tide. And then, of course, prevention programs and always advocating for more substance abuse. I can say early on in Wilkes County, we didn't have Suboxone, we didn't have methadone. An opiate treatment program is now there, and it's making a huge difference with over 300 and some patients seen in less than 2 years. So that helps also. But that took a community response. Part of the initiative is the physician toolkit, locking in patient to one pharmacy and one primary care physician, case management of those pain patients in the emergency department so that they can get referred to where they need ongoing care and not using the emergency room, use of the controlled substance reporting system to determine if somebody is misusing, you know, and abusing, and seeing other doctors and doctor shopping, which has been evident in many studies, support group for pain patients, mental health collaboration, more treatment, and of course community education. What has occurred now with the Chronic Pain Initiative and Project Lazarus on the community piece? We worked at this from a grassroots effort. You know, it was just our community in Wilkes County deciding what we need to do, how do we need to address this. Well, now we've gotten the state's attention. So now we have the bottom up and the top down working on the same initiative. And the Community Care Networks, which is our entire Medicaid system, Project Lazarus, the North Carolina Hospital Association, the Governor's Institute on Substance Abuse, and the Division of Public Health, we are now going forward with taking the Chronic Pain Initiative and the community piece to all 100 counties in North Carolina. That means CMEs in every hospital, 149 of them, every emergency department addressing their policies on prescribing, and then working with communities and developing community coalitions throughout the entire state. The rescue component that Nick Reuter talked about in the opiate treatment program toolkit, that's prescriber toolkit that's being developed, we started that in Wilkes County. We're dispensing kits now with two doses of naloxone to those who are determined to be at risk for an overdose. and that's being dispensed on a daily basis now. It's based on pain diagnosis, other issues, comorbidid issues that might go along. First methadone prescription, our opiate treatment program is now prescribing it to every single new enrollee in the methadone program, because they initially in those first, especially 2-week period, are at a high risk for overdose. So this is now, you know, again being dispensed. We had the first medical board in North Carolina, in the country, to sanction, to agree, and put out a position statement saying that the board encourages its licensees to abide the protocols of Project Lazarus, to cooperate and basically co-prescribe naloxone to those patients they deem at risk for an overdose from prescription opioid medications. So we're now looking at doing this statewide, as it is part of the Medicaid formulary, and we're just working on protocols and how that can be done, because most pharmacies do not readily stock this medication. The evaluation going forward, we of course monitor the Chronic Pain Initiative, monitoring all the data, the outcomes, emergency department visits, mortality, and so forth, and how many people are entering in treatment. Wilkes County in 2010 dropped 42% in our overdoses, and you can see for 2011 we've more than halved that. We're cautiously optimistic, but we've gone now 23 straight months of a continued decrease in overdoses in what was essentially the worst county. In 2007, we were the third worst county in the United States for these overdoses. So we are seeing something occur. Again, cautiously optimistic, because we know that that can change tomorrow. But you know, something is taking place. We looked at our emergency department visits for the accidental poisonings, the unintentional overdoses, and we've dropped 15.3% over the 2 years of those emergency room visits. The state went up 6.9%. So it's a pretty huge spread in that. And with 50% normally being hospitalized from that, in 2008 in North Carolina, we spent $99 million on hospitalizations for opiate poisonings, overdoses. So that's a huge expense to the system, again, that we look at something that's preventable. We looked at the script history of the individuals. In 2008, 82% of those who were prescribed a narcotic who died from an overdose and it was in their system at the tox screen had gotten that prescription from a Wilkes County prescriber. On average, 25% have no script, which means they got it from someone else, friend or family, or on the street. In 2009, 25% had the prescription from Wilkes. 2010, 10% had a prescription from Wilkes. And so far this year, those who have died from an overdose have not gotten that prescription in Wilkes County. They have had to go outside the county to get it. But we do not have an access to care problem. One of the things I have to state is our prescribing of controlled substances schedules 2, 3, 4, and 5 have not decreased. They have remained the same. So prescribing is occurring, patients are getting care, yet because of the safety mechanisms, the community education, patient-prescriber interaction, the deaths have gone down and substance abuse issues have decreased in Wilkes County. What has developed through this, and what I want to talk about, is Operation Opioid Safe. Because Fort Bragg in North Carolina, all of the bases, unfortunately, have a high prescribing rate for opioids for those who have been in the theater or injured in training. And they found out about our program and invited us in. So what has happened now is Operation Opioid Safe has become a novel provider of patient and community education. The Operation Opioid Safe protocol was approved by the Internal Review Board, signed by the Womack Army Medical High Command, and the review of the ARPO, the Army Human Resource Protections Office, in order to prescribe naloxone kits such as this to active duty soldiers who were at risk of an overdose. The reason is, from a 2007 study that was presented to Congress in 2009, 935 major limb amputations, 250 minor amputations, 43,000 cases of traumatic brain injury, 39 cases of PTSD, and on and on and on. And you can see the number of prescriptions that have been going out for opioid medications. Obviously, in 2005 is when the entire base was pretty much, you know, deployed to the theater. But it's still high dosing going on. 10,000 Fort Bragg soldiers are prescribed opioids yearly. And there's 43,000 soldiers there. From January to September 2009, 117 active duty suicides. Many were drug related. You can see the prescribing elements there. 4,400 soldiers prescribed opioids postoperatively. 6,600 prescribed opioids for acute or chronic pain. On average, 15% of the active duty soldiers on Fort Bragg on a daily basis are being prescribed opioid medications. That's a lot of opioid medications, and unfortunately they are having accidental poisonings, unintentional overdoses among that population. And so what is, and then they've also got eight, overdoses per month in the emergency room. The abuse and dependence is unknown because state and federal systems do not necessarily communicate with each other. So our state system is not being utilized the way it should be. So we're working on that so that the PMP information is going, crossing between the Army and ourselves or vice versa. And then the substance abuse program in the Army is enrolling about 20 to 40 patients on a monthly basis. The intent of this is for Operation Opioid Safe will make opioid safety as commonplace as weapon safety. Because when a soldier misses the bullet and dodges the bomb and they come home and they're on opioid medication and they die from an unintentional overdose, that should not happen. So what they are now doing is dispensing these kits to active duty soldiers using the Project Lazarus video, using the same blue box, and we're working now to make that more widespread, both at Fort Bragg and now Fort Campbell in Kentucky for their warrior transition unit is now prescribing naloxone to those who are at risk, and other bases and other camps are looking at the same program. And they're using the same education tools. It's not just education to that soldier, it's education to their family and their peers. When they receive the naloxone, they set up an overdose template, an overdose plan. They know where this is. They know the nasal atomizers are being utilized. So that there isn't any hesitancy or panic, during such a moment for injecting someone. But we're realizing that the education is the tool and it can make the difference. This is not the silver bullet, but boy, the education that goes along with it makes more and more people aware so that they can change their behaviors and be on guard with that. We also started a buprenorphine program at Fort Bragg. To wean soldiers off of the drug. They didn't have anybody dispensing it, and then 2 years ago, we brought three of their docs in and got them certified. I'm about to do two more so that it's ongoing, because one of the problems with the military and working with systems like this and effectively starting standard operating procedures is every 6 months, 33% of their personnel go someplace else. And in a hospital, a medical situation, that's very difficult for ongoing care and to establish something wholeheartedly, but, we're working on that. So we did start the Suboxone program. It is being done for 180 days to wean soldiers off of their drugs to help them make that transition when it's no longer necessary. With over 10,000 patients per year, they are prescribing quite a bit. Developing a safe and effective program to wean patients off opioids, and just this week in the Patch, which is normally a base type of not an underground newspaper, but is not sanctioned by the government. But if you go to fortbragg.patch.com, you'll see an article on this program for Fort Bragg, and the Suboxone is working. It's working well. It seems to work better for maintenance therapy than for withdrawal. But if you saw recently in the Army and military, they had some of those who had been restored and so forth with prosthetics and so forth did part of the bicycle race in Europe, and one of the folks from Fort Bragg who basically said Suboxone saved his life was able to compete in that race. So it is possible to turn lives around and save their lives in that. So we're doing patient and family provider education, surveillance, and emergency training. We are actually now about to get a grant to put somebody on the ground in Cumberland County with Fort Bragg as a community coordinator liaison to work with the active duty soldiers and their families and the direct community. We've now engaged the hospital system in the community, both on base and off base, and the Medicaid system in the community, so that they're all working together for all of the families, whether it's part of the federal system through the base or in the regular general community, for the naloxone kits, for better prescribing, to replicate what Wilkes County is doing and has been doing. This is some of who we are: myself, Fred Brayson, Kay Sanford, our policy and research evaluator and epidemiologist, Navdas Gupta. Dr. Albert is our medical director, and we recently had an article in the Pain Medicine Journal that describes a whole lot more. And one of the reasons we do this is for folks just like Casey. Casey is a classic example of somebody who had difficulty, had addiction issues, could not find the help that she was trying to find in her own community, withdraw on her own, cold turkey, but did not know and understand about tolerance, and her parents did not know the signs and symptoms of overdose, and unfortunately all of that occurred within 3 weeks of her overcoming her drugs and going through withdrawal, because she went out on a Friday night and took what she used to take. and did not wake up, unfortunately, Saturday morning, but they heard her snoring, they heard all the signs and symptoms, just did not know what they were, and unfortunately did not happen. But Mom is now an advocate for naloxone kits and community organization work to change lives, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Fred.